And welcome back to Series 4 of the Construction Law Back to Basics podcast, where this time we are focusing on project security. I'm Claire Perry, a Managing Associate in the Stevens & Bolton Construction and Engineering team, and I'm joined today by my colleague Phoebe Starbuck, a trainee solicitor in the team. We are going to talk about the common forms of bonds used on construction projects, including when and why parties may want to consider using them. So, Phoebe, can you start us off with a quick explanation of what bonds are and the standard types of bond commonly used in a construction project?
Thank you, Claire. Yes, bonds are widely used in the UK construction industry, particularly with the ever-present threat of insolvency. They are usually required by an employer to provide security for the employer against non-performance by the contractor. A bond is essentially a contract entered into between an employer and a bank or insurance company called the surety, whereby the surety accepts financial liability in the event of non-performance by the contractor. There are several types of bond. These include performance bonds, retention bonds, and advance payment bonds. So bonds come in two general categories: the on-demand bond, which is preferred by employers, and a default or conditional bond. A default or conditional bond is worded in such a way that the employer must establish a breach by the contractor and the loss flowing from that breach before being able to make a call on the bond. This is in contrast to an on-demand bond, which can be called on by the employer at any time without the employer having to prove that loss has been suffered first. On-demand bonds are popular with employers for this reason, but can also be preferred by sureties. This is because a surety wants certainty of when it has to pay out under the bond and wants to avoid a scenario where it may pay out under a bond in error. An on-demand bond form of bond very simply requires the surety to pay literally on demand and therefore removes any potential arguments over whether the surety should have paid the sum or not.
Thank you, Phoebe. So let's run through the common forms of bond used in construction projects, starting with performance bonds. So with a performance bond, the surety will accept liability for the performance of the contractor under the building contract, so the employer can call on the bond in the event of the contractor's breach of contract. For a UK construction contract, the value of the bond is typically 10% of the contract sum. The obligation to provide a performance bond is usually stated in the building contract and is often a precondition to the employer entering into the contract. The form of bond is usually attached to the contract in a form which is acceptable to the employer. The bond will state on it when it expires, either with a long stop date or more usually following a trigger event such as practical completion under the building contract or the issue of the defect certificate. There has been some uncertainty over whether a contractor's insolvency would allow an employer to make a call under a performance bond, as this may not be considered a breach of contract. Therefore, most performance bonds will specifically include insolvency as a trigger for payment under the bond. It's worth noting there is a standard form of bond published by the Association of British Insurers, known as the ABI form of bond. This is widely used in the UK construction market. However, it is usually amended by employers to include certain requirements, such as providing for insolvency as a trigger event, as this is not included in the standard ABI wording. So a performance bond will come at a cost to the contractor, and who pays for this cost is often the subject of negotiation between the contractor and the employer, with the cost often being included within the contract sum, so it's ultimately paid for by the employer as part of the contract. Another form of common form of bond used for construction projects is an advance payment bond. So Phoebe, can you please explain a little bit about advance payment bonds?
Of course. Under a typical building contract, a contractor will be paid in instalments for work carried out following inspection and certification by a contract administrator. In short, payment in arrears in respect of work already carried out. However, there are often circumstances where the contractor requests an advance payment, for example, to cover the contractor's mobilisation costs or to assist in placing long-term orders for materials, such as steel. But paying in advance exposes the employer to a risk of loss if the employer subsequently fails to receive the benefit of the advance payment through work delivered under the building contract. The most obvious risk being where the contractor may become insolvent after receiving the advance payment, but before the employer receives the value of that advance payment through the works. Therefore, where the contractor requires an advance payment, the employer will typically require the contractor to procure an advance payment bond form from a surety in favour of the employer as a condition of the employer making the advance payment. The surety is usually a bank or insurance company, which would not therefore be affected by insolvency of the contract group, unlike, for example, a parent company guarantee. Advance payment bonds are for the full value of the advance payment, but may contain a mechanism whereby the value of the bond will be reduced either at specific stages, such as practical completion, or more usually, a reduction will be consummate with reimbursement through the payment process in the building contract, like an amount of a certified sum as part of a regular payment application under the building contract, instead of being paid to the contractor, will be set off against the advance payment sum. Advance payment bonds may be expressed to last until such a time as the employer has received the benefit of the full value of the advance payment under the building contract, or may contain a long stop expiry date. However, care does need to be taken that any expiry date will not occur too soon before the advance payment has been reimbursed through the building contract. Again, there is the question of who pays for the bond. In this case, the contractor is obtaining the benefit of the advance payment, so it would usually be at the contractor's cost.
Thank you, Phoebe. So finally, it's also worth mentioning retention bonds. The use of retention in construction projects will be the subject of another podcast in this series, and is extremely common in building contracts in the UK, where, very briefly, usually a pre-agreed percentage of each payment instalment to be paid to the contractor under the building contract, commonly 3%, is retained by the employer. However, instead of a cash retention of sums from the contractor, the parties can agree that instead the contractor will provide a retention bond from a surety for the full percentage value of the total retention which would otherwise be held under the building contract. The effect is that the employer agrees to pay all payments to the contractor as they fall due in full under the building contract without any retention in return for receiving the retention bond. So, retention bonds are usually payable on demand, and this is the approach that's adopted in the standard form JCT contracts, with the underlying principle being pay first, argue later. The rationale for this is that, in practical terms, this reflects the original commercial position between the parties, as the employer would otherwise receive the retention in cash. As with all bonds, there is likely to be a cost associated with this, and in this case, as the contractor is obtaining the benefit of uninterrupted cash flow, a retention bond would usually be at the contractor's cost.
So those are the types of bonds that are commonly used in construction projects, but bonds are just one type of security that can be employed as part of the wider security package on a construction project. Whether or not they are required or requested will depend upon a number of factors, including the financial status of the parties and the type of project.
Yes, they can also be balanced against other forms of security. For example, a party may decide that it does not need both a performance bond and a parent company guarantee. So, whether or not a bond is required or acceptable will be part of a larger discussion. In summary, bonds can be a key tool for both employers and contractors in dealing with cash flow and risk under a building contract. As with all forms of project security, the earlier these discussions can happen in the procurement process, the better, particularly as bonds come at a cost to one or other of the parties and therefore need to be considered as part of the total contract sum. So, thank you for listening to this podcast, which is part of our Construction Back to Basics podcast series on project security by the construction and engineering team here at Stevens and Bolton. If you have any questions or would like any further information in connection with anything we have discussed today or during the rest of our construction podcast series, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me, Phoebe, or your usual Stevens and Bolton contact. Please look out for upcoming episodes of this series by our colleagues who will be discussing other forms of project security, such as insurance, guarantees, and project bank accounts. Thank you.